Welcome to the Second Thought for the Day podcast. In this episode, we'll dissect a Radio 4 thought for the day to expose all in it that is not factful or reasonable. Please visit secondthoughtfortheday.com for more on what we do and why. You can also find there a transcript of the broadcast we're about to review and a link to the original BBC audio, as well as all the other podcasts we've done, show notes and so on. This Second Thought podcast is in response to the thought for the day that was broadcast by the Right Reverend Dr. David Walker on the 15th of April 2025. Walker is the Bishop of Manchester. His inspiration was the bombing 2 days previously, Palm Sunday, that disabled the last functional hospital in Gaza. The subject of his reflection was the ethics of warfare. Of note, the Al-Hali is the only Christian-run hospital in Gaza. It's run by a branch of the Anglican Church.
The Anglican Al-Hali Hospital suffered a devastating attack 2 days ago. A 20-minute warning from the Israeli forces allowed staff and patients, along with refugees on the site, to evacuate. But what was the only functioning hospital left in Gaza has been put out of action. Whether or not there was a Hamas command centre hidden within its buildings, as the military alleged, I've heard from my own conversations with Palestinians that terrorists have in the past forced them to accept military assets being placed in schools and medical facilities precisely to make them harder to destroy. I can understand why some argue that the number of hostages being held by Hamas should include much of the civilian population.
There is much here that is good. But any listener taking Walker's broadcast at face value could reasonably infer that Christians were largely responsible for international law as it pertains to conflict, that the Anglican Diocese of Jerusalem is a leading provider of humanitarian aid in Gaza, and that the Church of England is also a relevant contributor to peace negotiation efforts between Hamas and the government of Israel. Walker is careful not to claim these things, but his offhand references appear deliberately pitched to encourage this understanding in the listener. Our bishop uses the conflict in Gaza to introduce the ethics of war, and he does a good job. He is measured and provides appropriately guarded illustration that both Hamas and the Israeli leadership appear to be failing to wage war justly, especially with respect to appropriate treatment of non-combatants. You might, though, be forgiven for thinking that the Christian Church is almost singularly responsible for what we today understand as the ethics of war. At least you would, if all you'd heard was Walker's approach to the subject.
Augustine of Hippo, writing 1500 years ago, seeks to find that balance by setting down rules which any justifiable conflict would have to satisfy. What's become known as the just war theory, adopted far beyond the Christian tradition, has at its heart the protection of non-combatants.
While there is no false claim made in those words, it is a clear case of deceit. It is also enthusiastic flag-waving from the Anglicans. Their man in Hippo did make the first recorded Christian effort of documenting principles of warfare. But St. Augustine was far from alone, or even a pioneer in this field. There are more ancient Arabic, Chinese, and Roman examples. At the very least, he could have mentioned the Sanskrit Mahabharata, which predates St. Augustine by 700 years. This ancient Indian text was the first ever written exploration of just war. He was silent on Cicero, who advocated principles of just war within the Roman Republic, also sometime before Augustine the Saint. And there are several other examples from ancient Egypt, from the Zhou dynasty in Chinese philosophy, and others, all of which predate St. Augustine. It is worth noting that St. Augustine regarded physical death as something of little consequence, not dissimilar from suicide bombers looking forward to their virgins in heaven. But given Walker's focus on non-combatants, about whom St. Augustine was somewhat ambivalent, it is rather important that his was not a lone voice. St. Thomas Aquinas did considerably more heavy lifting on the matter within the church many years later, but it was the Dutch humanist Hugo Grotius, with notable contributions from a handful of others, who in the 16th century wrote the conditions for a just war that are accepted today. I'm not suggesting Walker should have provided that level of detail, but a couple of very simple tweaks would have removed the deception, making his broadcast honest and credible. Here's the 39 words Walker used. Augustine, writing 1500 years ago, sought to define that balance by laying down rules that any justifiable conflict would have to satisfy. These principles became known as just war theory, which has been adopted far beyond the Christian tradition. Here's 41 words he easily could have used. Augustine, writing 1500 years ago, made the first Christian attempt to define that balance by laying down rules that any justifiable conflict would have to satisfy. These principles contributed to just war theory, which is the foundation of international law today. Mild, perhaps, but deceit by omission nonetheless, seemingly motivated by Christian bias. It's somewhat quaint to see bias manifest itself through Anglican zeal. There can't be many instances when the two words appear together. In any event, Walker's telling of this history is untroubled by balance. He then closes with two paragraphs on the Anglican Church in the context of the Gaza crisis. First, Walker cites a statement from the Church of England's House of Bishops.
The Church of England House of Bishops yesterday reiterated what I and many feel are the minimum first steps towards ending the present suffering.
This statement urges good things in Gaza. But it's hard to set aside just how irrelevant this pronouncement is to efforts to achieve a lasting peace. It might as well be a provincial English hiking club calling for the preservation of bridleway access in war-torn Sudan. Finally, David notes the importance of the resumption of humanitarian work provided by the Anglican Diocese of Jerusalem.
Meanwhile, a clear commitment to the rapid repair and restoration of healthcare services so that the Diocese of Jerusalem and others can resume their humanitarian work would send a powerful signal that peace still has a chance.
And others. But those others dwarf the contribution made by the Church of England to humanitarian aid in Gaza. Walker once again need only have made minor changes to prevent the misleading of his audience. Given this repeat offending, though, it seems likely to me all this deception was deliberate. With church flag in hand, Walker cannot but help its waving.